The fallacies of golf are many and of various kinds. Some deal with the mental approach, some with a specific action, others with the mechanical principles which underlie the swing. We will not attempt here to make a complete list. We will cover the 24 or more that are most prevalent and have caused and still cause the most damage, and particularly those which must be exploded thoroughly if you are to assimilate to new thoughts, principles, and actions we will give you in this book. Watch carefully. The fuse is lit. Relax. Rubbish. This fallacy is so old that it should have been dead long ago, but it is hardly perennial, and it has come down to us throughout generations of golf teachers right to the present day. On the very face of it, the advice is foolish. When you swing a golf club, you are taking a comparatively violent action. Is there any other violent action that you take while you're relaxed? Stop and think. Of course there isn't. It's impossible. Be loose. This is the second cousin of relax. Tension, once thought to be the deadly enemy of good golf, now is rightly regarded as something to be striven for. A restricted turn of the hips on the backswing, along with a full turn of the shoulders, a different wrist action, and a tight grip all combine to produce the muscular tension that, when released, gives greater power to the swing. When a swing is loose, there are several parts of the body that are just going along for the ride, as it were. They contribute nothing. The pros today want no parts of the body to go into the action which are not working parts. And isn't this a sound principle? Take the club back inside. The idea here is based on producing the inside-out swing. The thought is that if the club should approach the ball from the inside on the downswing, why not facilitate matters by taking the club back well on an inside line? Going back sharply on the inside is something that is not taught, we are happy to say, by many pros. It is something that the average club player figures out for himself. He can't hit the ball with an inside-out swing, but he thinks he can do it by going back on the inside. So, in his efforts, and backed by a lot of misdirected determination, he comes back more and more to the inside until he is almost whipping the club around his knees. Yet, he still hits from the outside, and he can't understand it. The fallacy in this is that the inside-out swing is not produced by the way the club is taken back, but by the way it is brought down. You can take the club back on the outside and still bring it down on the inside, hitting the ball with an inside-out swing. The club follows the same path coming down that it takes going up. The thinking here is closely allied to the last misconception. It is surprising how many people, who should know better, still think that the club head follows only a single path going up and coming down. The club head does no such thing in the correct swing. It comes down inside the path it took going up. This is accomplished not by any tricky hand action or even by conscious effort, but by correct hip and especially shoulder actions at the beginning of the downswing. With these actions, the club automatically shifts the swing plane to the inside. When these hip and shoulder actions are not correct, they shift the plane from the inside to the outside coming down. Turn the hips to the left. This well-meant advice has spoiled more golf swings than all the caddies who ever rattled a bag of clubs. What is meant here is that the first movement of the downswing should be a turning of the hips to the left. They are turned to the right as the body turns and coils to the right on the backswing, and as the weight goes over to the right leg. Therefore, you have been told, start the downswing by turning the hips to the left. This instruction has caused its widespread damage because it has come from such high places. But to turn the hips to the left as the first movement of the downswing is asking for disaster, nothing less. There is no telling how many home club pros all over the world have had to put the brakes on hip spinning among their members. The poor pupil, getting to the top of the swing, turns his hips violently to the left, leaves his weight on his right leg, brings the club down across the ball, hits a horrible shot, and then argues with the pro. The turning of the hips does take place, of course, but they turn naturally, and they turn only after they have first moved laterally to the left. You will find, if you try to move your hips laterally as far as you can, that they will turn as they move toward the limit of extension. In fact, you can hardly stop them from turning. If the lateral movement is not made, the weight will be very liable to stay over the right leg instead of shifting to the left as it must. If the weight doesn't move ahead of the swing, the shot will be ruined. What actually takes place is a lateral turn of the hips. Another thought that may help you is that it is physically possible to turn the hips without moving them laterally, but it is almost impossible to move them to the limit laterally without turning them. The actual effort many players make to do nothing more than turn the hips brings about two actions that will ruin any swing. The turn, without the lateral movement, leaves the weight on the right leg, as we have seen, and it throws the arc of the swing outside the line of flight so that the club head comes to the ball from the outside in instead of from the inside out, as it must if a good shot is to be hit. So don't think of turning your hips. Think of moving them laterally. It's a lateral turn, of which you'll hear much more about later.